One more time, good afternoon to everyone at home and wherever you are. Just so excited to share the Word of God with you. How many remember how many times already we do this online service? How many say it's 3 times? 4? Well, it's been the 5th time. Today is the 5th time. That we're doing this online service, and after 5 weeks in isolation, we're still finding ourselves in a time of uncertainty and of crisis, as we don't know yet when this settled-in-place order is going to be lifted. Somebody say end of April, beginning of May, end of May, all kind of speculation, but the reality is we are still in crisis mode as the nation, not only in U.S. but also in Indonesia, because although the numbers of the new cases has tracked down, a lot of people still die. At least in United States, around 2,000 still die every single day. So somebody said, can you imagine every day is a 9/11? So there is a lot of people dying, and we certainly want to pray for all the families that is affected by this crisis. In the meantime, each one of us who are at home for the past 4 weeks or 5 weeks, we're dealing with this crisis in our own way. Some are starting to feel a little stress and pressure because we cannot really go do anything else other than stay home and be a good boy or good girl, right? But in this time of crisis, we do have a choice. We can make things better for us, and we can become better person, better disciple, better follower of Christ, or we can be a monster. You know, so what do you want to be? Better or monster? Of course, they are not grammatically balanced statement. One is a noun and the other one is adjective, just a play on word. But in reality, each one of us have a choice to make in the time of crisis. And I think the time of crisis is the best time for us to grow, because in this time of crisis, a lot of things are taken away from you. And from us, from me too. We are taking away options as far as what we can spend our time with. Less time going out, less time meeting friends, but more time to do growing, more time to do reflection. And as I said, some people choose different way of coping with this crisis. And unfortunately, some of us actually do grow to be a monster. The other day, I look up news, and turns out in this time of settle in place where everybody stay home, the statistic for domestic violence is increasing incident of domestic violence. So that's just a snapshot of the news that I saw the other day. You know, I mean, people are staying home. But because they did not have a good relationship, husband and wife, they fought, and then there is a domestic violence and all kind of strange behavior is displayed by people that is under pressure. So I guess this kind of people, they grow to be a monster. But all of us that are here today, we have a choice, and of course, like you and I, I'm sure all of us want to choose to be better. And so how do we do that? In the next few weeks, we will continue studying the book of James chapter 1. And the whole idea is we can be a better person while in our connecting with each other, whether that's with your spouse or your roommate. So let us read James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. All right, so here is the word of God. So then, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Swift to hear. Swift means quick, right? Another translation says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. That is from the the big version, the one that you know use daily word. Okay, so at first when we read this, James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, we thought that James is talking about communication practice. In doing premarital counseling, there is a session that I do with couples that wants to get married, and it is called communication, because communication is one of the big three that usually cause conflict in a relationship between husband and wife. So we talk about different methods and what to say, what not to say, the timing. And so we thought that just a quick reading, that James is talking about communication practice, how to relate using a verbal communication. But upon further examination, you will realize that is not exactly what James is talking about. Actually, James is talking about more than just communication practice, the how-tos. This quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, actually is a reflection of human heart. You will see here in verse 21, the next verse after 19 and 20. This is what he said. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is the word of God, which is able to save your soul. Now, if you read this a little bit more careful than the first part that we just read, you will notice that the subject of discussion here is more than just communication practice on how to speak and when to speak and how slow or how fast to do the activity, but he is mentioning something deeper. He is mentioning about human soul. He said that all this communication practice that we do actually is an indication of the condition of our heart, and he used two words here, is filthiness and wickedness. And later on, we will also talk about meekness. Meekness means humility. But filthiness and wickedness. What is filthiness? Well, filthiness, another synonym for filthiness, is uncleanness. The way to think about this, I have my own definition of filthiness and wickedness, but these are a condition of human heart. In fact, Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for the mouth speak what the heart is full of. It means like whatever that you convey with your verbal communication, actually it comes out from your mouth. So that is exactly what James is teaching us today, that however, whatever that you say and however you say it, actually it is a reflection of your heart. And this filthiness and wickedness are factors of influence that can influence the way you speak and the way you listen. So what is filthiness? Filthiness is a condition of our heart that prevents us to do God's will. That is my definition, a condition of our heart. The unworthiness of sinful man in front of God. The way I think about filthiness is this. Say that I just work outside and all my hands are dirty, my clothes are dirty, and I'm really tired and I want to rest. So I get back inside the house, go straight to my bedroom and about to climb my bed to rest. But here it is that my wife, when she saw me, all dirty and filthy, she would scream and exclaim, stop, don't do that, don't climb into the bed, Go to the bathroom first. Wash, change. It prevents me to rest because I'm filthy. So filthiness is something that stops us in fulfilling what God wants in our life. Because we are dirty. And it makes us cannot participate with a holy God that wants to do things with us together. It stops us. Just like my wife would stop me climbing into the bed and preventing me to have rest. That is what filthiness will do to our lives when we are filthy. Now, wickedness. Wickedness is a condition of our heart that gear action, our action, toward offending, oppressing, and causing harms to others. Whether intentionally or not, we are a wicked person will continually act in a way that harm others and oppress others and very unjust in their action. So, what is wickedness? I believe that all of us are wicked. Without God, without Jesus that washed away all our sin, we are wicked. And even after he did that on us for the cross, we have to continually watch for these wicked things in our heart because our world is wicked. When we as a nation agree to harm and kill unborn babies, we are wicked. When the Western capitalistic system abuse the underpaid worker in a third world country, we are wicked. We are full of wickedness. In fact, the Bible says that everyone is wicked. Everyone is unrighteous, short of the standard that God has given us originally. So I believe that this is the issue of our soul that we need to discuss much more than just how to communicate, how to speak, or how to listen. So instead of discussing the communication practice, let's discuss a deeper issue of our heart today. Because we want to be better, not becoming a monster. Amen? So let's look at James, part, you know, dig deeper with the three suggestion or actually a command that James give us. The first one, he said, is be quick to listen. And then view that particular command with the condition of our heart. So he wants to actually encourage us to listen well. The question is, for us, are we listening well? Do we have the capability and heart to listen well? And if we are not, what is causing us not to listen well? Well, number one, this is the problem that I have personally, but I also believe that a lot of us or a lot of people in the world has this. The problem of wandering mind. Okay? We are living in a very distracted world, distracted people. Our mind is constantly busy, being interrupted by our social media messages, by news, by a lot of interest and entertainment and unending Netflix titles. So we are very distracted. How do I know that I'm distracted? It's very difficult for me to just sit quietly for a moment, like now, without thinking anything else but concentrating on the Word of God. It's a challenge for some of us to sit in the church, listen to the sermon without constantly checking our smartphone, thinking that, ooh, somebody probably is going to message me. I need to check. And then within seconds, we keep on checking and checking, the next checking and checking, and our mind is just not concentrating on the sermon or in the Word of God that is being shared. Another way that I know that I am really distracted is that I cannot have a quiet, even my environment is quiet, I cannot just stand the stillness, the just like no voice, nothing. I will always have to turn on either my TV or listen to some music because silence kills me, kills my heart. It makes me very uneasy. And some of us have this problem. Our mind is constantly wandering left and right and up and down and everywhere. The Word of God instructed us, my soul, tell your soul, quiet, be quiet before God, for from Him comes my hope. So we have this challenge. The second challenge that we have is this, selective mind. Selective mind. We tend to only listen to things that we are interested to listen. Now, that's natural, right? That's natural. Our tendency is you say something that I'm interested in, something relevant. I will be more willing to listen to you. But then the negative of that is this. Sometimes God wants to tell you something that you don't necessarily be comfortable with. In fact, when we read the Word of God, the Word of God is like a mirror to us that tells us how we behave, things that we have to improve. But we are selective. We sometimes when we hear something that we don't like, we shut the mind of our ear. I mean, your ear has a mind inside. It's not only that you can hear, but your mind can listen to the word that are being shared. Selective mind. Most of us, we just like to read headline in the news. We are headliner. We just look at the big picture and we don't pay attention to the detail because our mind selectively select which one we want to hear and which one we don't. And sometimes we only want to hear when we like the person. And so there's many, many ways that we selectively hearing and that makes us not being able to listen well. The Word of God in 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 3 says this, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. You know, that word sound doctrine immediately put people to sleep. Oh, man, he's going to talk too technical. It's not going to be relevant. But that is not true because if God gives the word, whatever it is God's word. So the Word of God continued. It says, instead to suit their own desire. So it turns out, even in listening, people have their own preference. Instead to suit their own desire, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So with internet and with podcasts that is available out there, now it's very easy to gather a great number of teachers. In the past, maybe this is not too easy because, you know, all these teachers, they live everywhere in the nation or in the world. And, of course, it is very difficult for us to visit each one of these great teachers. But now with podcasts, all you have to do is Google it up. Whoever that you want to listen to, you could. But there is a danger. There is a danger because when we selectively choose who we want to hear, it may not be something that we actually really, really need from God. God wants us to know His word for a particular time, and He wants us to completely know His word, not just things that we like. So this is the problem of selective mind. This will give you a hindrance of listening well. So wandering mind, selective mind, one more which is the most dangerous of all, is the rebellious mind. Just read the word, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, for these are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. So there is a rebellious people. Rebellious people are people who do not believe in Jesus or believe in God. They are rebellious people outside the church. But turns out the problem of listening well is not limited to the people outside of the church because the Word of God addressed deceitful children. Who is deceitful children? These are children of God. This is the children of our Father in heaven. There are children, but there are children who is unwilling to listen. We hear the word of God, but we think that we know better. We hear the word of God, but we lack the respect that the word of God needs to have. So that is the most dangerous because, you know, a lot of us, we grow up in church, and since our childhood, we went to Sunday school, and we are so used to the word being preached, and we have heard probably a certain verses, maybe 10, 20 times, and we think we know it all. But the idea is not only knowing the word, right? The idea is to obey. And without intention, we sometimes refuse to obey. Unwilling, it says, unwilling to listen. Oh, we hear the word, but we're unwilling to listen to the instruction. So that is why James encouraged all of us to listen well. Pay attention to this wandering mind, selective mind, and rebellious mind. So does James offer a solution for us to be a better listener? Sure. But let's not get ahead of us. Let's continue with the second point, because he also encouraged us to slow to speak. Okay? Slow to speak. Now, slow to speak is not slowing the rate of your speech like this. Okay? How many will continue to listen to me for the next hour? It's not like that, right? This is actually talking about reaction. Some people react too quick, speak too quick. So James says we need to quick to listen, slow to speak. But a lot of us is slow to listen, fast talking. This is actually the same issue as before, because people who are fast talker usually is slow listener. Speaking quickly usually means speaking without thinking, just a quick habit, and just reacting. So the Word of God has a warning for us, because fast talking leads to foolishness. The word of God is from Proverbs chapter 7, verse 28. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Even a foolish person, if they keep silent, will be thought as wise, it says. But fast talker usually just showing off their foolishness, because they never process something carefully. They just respond. They don't want to hear other. They just want to speak. And the foolish person is like that. And when you speak too fast, wisdom grows slow. If you want to be wise, then hold your tongue. And you will be able to discern. Discern means judging right and wrong, and wise and unwise action. The second one is this: fast talking leads to many errors. The word of God is from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Another translation says that in the presence of many words, there are for sure sin, but the wise will be silent. Sometimes when we find ourselves already make a mistake, we tend to use our words to try to soften the mistake or to make it not looking so bad. But the more you speak, the more obvious it is that you are in the wrong. And you know, one lies will lead into another lies. That's why fast talking lead to many errors. So that's why James encouraged us to speak slowly. All right, the third thing that James encouraged us is this: to slow to anger, right? Because why? Why does anger is bad for us? Well, James simply said this, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desired. God desire us to be righteous. What is righteousness? To me, I simply think about Jesus. Jesus is righteous. And to be righteous is to become like Christ, to become like Jesus. So simple, you know, there is, of course, more complicated explanation what righteousness is according to the law, according to the Old Testament or New Testament, and that kind of this and that, and philosophical explanation. But to me, simply, I think this, righteousness is to become like Jesus. Because Jesus is our righteousness. And James simply said, if you are angry, you simply cannot produce the righteousness that God desire. And to me, that is the main reason why I want to be slow to anger. Because I just want to be like Christ. And James says that is the main motivation for you not to be quick to angry. The main motivation is not because our career will be stuck if we are becoming an angry person, or we will become unpopular with our friend because we are an angry person. It's not that. Or we will not be able to have a good life partner because people will not like us. That is not the definition or the motivation behind not getting angry, although that is a byproduct. The main reason why James wants us to slow to anger is because it does not produce righteousness. How many understand what James is trying to say here? Well, granted, it is not easy to be righteous. It is not easy to develop godly character. But James does give us a solution. So let's look at verse 21, because this is the great reveal. Godly solution to the heart issues. We already mentioned that this quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger is a heart issues. And so he said this, James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil, that is that word filthiness and wickedness, that is so prevalent, which means it's everybody have this. It's so widespread. And this is what the solution is. He just say this, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humbly accept the word. That is the second part of verse 21. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. What does it mean to be humbly accept the word planted in you? Well, I have four, from here, I have four principles. You think about it and meditate on the word of God yourself. What does it mean to be humbly accept the word planted in you? And this is my reflection. First is this. Humbly mean you accept the word with respect. Respect God's word, whoever is speaking it. Pay attention when the word of God is shared to you by your care group leader or by the person giving the sermon every week from the pulpit. Even when your spouse, your husband or your wife, which you know very well, share the word of God. Sometimes we do not respect or we take for granted people that is closest to us. And when they say the word of, when they quote the word of God, we tend to dismiss. But if it is the word of God, show proper respect, proper attention to the word that is being shared by your wife, your husband, or even your children that goes to Sunday school. Sometimes your children come back from Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher taught them to memorize certain verse, and your children wants to recite it in front of you because they are proud of being able to memorize the verse. Pay attention. Respect God's word. wherever it is. That is humbly accept the word. And not only listening from the mental mind ways, but allow the word to penetrate into your heart, which means lower your defense, quiet your mind, and listen, and allow the word to come into the deepest part of your life. Have trust that this word does not mean to harm you, but to bring success in your life. When the word of God is being shared, open up your heart. Don't have all kind of extra thoughts that says, oh, but what about this? What about that? Just accept as the Holy Spirit speak into your heart at the moment. Allow the word to penetrate deep into your soul. And when the Holy Spirit nudges your heart, be ready to change. Make a plan on how you will implement the word that you just heard in your life. Don't make excuse, oh, maybe this is not the season, maybe this word is for my neighbor, it's not for me. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and then cooperate with the Holy Spirit by praying, God, what should I do? In light of the word that I just hear, what should I do? What do I do? What do I need to do differently in my life? What are the things that I can improve? Be ready to change. And last, but not the least, is make time to listen to God's word daily. We all need to grow in our relationship. We need to make time to listen to God daily. Take time in the morning, pray and ask God to speak, because He will gladly speak through His word. Open up your Bible and jot down thoughts that come into your mind. Make time, because that is how we grow personally. We don't grow personally by doing things and just the routine things, but we need that special word from the Lord. I take time every morning either reading a passage from the Bible or listening to Bible teacher. And whatever one bit of ideas that I get, I jot it down, put it, you know, somewhere in my notebook. Even it is not a full writing like writing paper. It's just one little sentence or even one little word. But that one little word can change our life. If you want to grow, get something that nuggets from the Word of God and do it as a daily intake into your heart and soul. And in doing so, you will get rid of filthiness and wickedness. And then, if you do that, if your heart is pure, purified by the Word of God, the practice of your communication will be compassionate. The practice of your talking to one another will be full of love, understanding. Relationship is built. You will be able to connect within your marriage life because there is a humility, because your heart is softened by the Word of God. You will show love. You will speak in love. So, how many wants to be better in this time of crisis? Amen? And how many is willing to change for the better in obedience to the Word of God? Amen? I see hands are lifted up. And I pray that all of us, let's continue to grow, being settled in place in our home is not an excuse to not grow in our life. It's not an excuse to connect more with God. In fact, it is, on the other hand, a special time that God allows in our lives to connect more with Him, to grow our character, to be able to communicate in a godly way. Amen. Hallelujah. we will be blessed. You will be blessed when you listen and do according to God's word. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to love your words. Teach us to examine our hearts according to your words. Teach us, God, to be a better disciple, better children of God. Teach us to bless the people that are close to us in our household. We do not want to be monster, but we want to be better. We want to have the patience, love, wisdom. We want to be an encouragement to people that you put around us. Help us to do that, Holy Spirit. Help us to be ready to change. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.